This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success. You know, my takeaway for the month, and I'm blessed to be around so many, but my takeaway for the month is between two. And so I hate to cheat the system, Nick, and thank you so much for asking. But the first was, you're either humble or you're about to be. You know, so many of us make judgments, and we have to realize every judgment that we make is on incomplete information. The more and more we live in this information world with the my cloud streaming to the mind, interpreting and transcending into our daily lives and activities, we start to realize that there's trillions of variables, and it would be impossible to know what we don't know. We can know more, and that's why we seek and are more interested than interesting. But humility is derived from the fact that judgments, opinions are based on ignorance and doubt, because there's so many variables. It would be impossible to take any judgment that we have or other people's have of us other than based on ignorance and doubt, because we're either humble or we're about to be, because we're about to find out that we don't know what we don't know, and we're just pretending when we give people our opinion, our advice, and our judgment, because it's based off of incomplete information. And there is no certainty in the information in which you're deriving your opinions and judgments on. And so humility is at the cornerstone of everything. And so just take away with you today, when you are pontificating the truth and giving your advice and judgment, which is fine, that you don't know what you don't know. And if you don't give that advice and judgment and humility, you're about to. The second takeaway came recently at New York at the VIP dinner by the amazing Claude Silver, the chief heart officer of Vayner, who we're blessed to work so closely with. And she is an amazing leader, and building and transforming that extraordinary organization with Gary Vaynerchuk. But she said, I only have two types of friends, those that I snorkel with and those that I scuba dive with. And I think understanding the spectrum of feeding and bleeding and relativity, and of course, association, you can see how those friendships are derived, and we can manage and align with our snorkeling friends and our scuba diving friends. Two great takeaways for me, Nick, and I'm going to pass it back to you to keep on leading the way here on over 24 years of training. Just blessed to have this May 31st takeaway of the month. Go ahead, Nick, keep this rocket rolling.
Absolutely. And in terms of my takeaway of the month, the takeaway that I walked away with was something I learned throughout our travels in Atlanta. And that is the quote of, I can't hear what you say because what you do speaks so loudly. And I think it is just such a good reminder of the fact that our actions always speak much, much louder than our words. It's not just about talking the talk, but it's about walking the walk. And even relating that to a lesson that I've learned so much through you, David, is, you know, as a leader, right? It's, or even, you know, in your case as a father, right? Your kids may not listen to you, or, you know, the team may not listen to you, but they watch. Right. And I think it's just a testament to both. So that was my takeaway for the month of May. And now I will go ahead and pass it over to some of our community members here so they can share as well. I see Justin is waiting here patiently in the audience. So, Justin, happy Friday. It's great to see you. Feel free to unmute yourself and share your takeaway of the month.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Friday. Yeah, my takeaway is it's a pretty simple one. It's that you don't fully know or understand something until you can teach it. And so I've come to realize, if you really want to test your knowledge or your expertise on a subject, try teaching it to someone else. It's the fastest way to realize that you need to learn it better. But also, it gave me this secondary lesson that the more time you spend investing in other people, the more you're actually helping elevate yourself as well. And so, yeah, for me, it's, you don't know something until you teach it, but go teach somebody else it, and you're going to learn more, they're going to learn more, and everybody learns more together. And so, yeah, that's my simple, straightforward takeaway for the month.
Amazing. It is a great takeaway. And that's why I put in my incentive program, Justin, mentorship. And mentorship is not only having a mentor, but most importantly, every employee of mine, since I've been with Lee Steinberg way back when, has been required to have a mentee. And that realization doesn't come unless you are mentoring someone. You don't realize what you don't know, and you don't realize the ignorance and doubt that exists and what you think you know until you have to teach it. And as you seek and are more interested than interesting, you'll start realizing that the greatest mentors are also the greatest intelligent followers, meaning that they're learning the most about what they think they know. And I think it's a great lesson to learn that in order to fully understand the depth in which we understand the layers of epidermis of awareness that we have in the critical business or life issues in which we want to live by, that until we can articulate them to someone else and allow them to start their journey of peeling away the epidermis of awareness, of peeling away the understanding of what they think they know. And once again, reiterating the humility that's involved when we think we know something and somebody pushes us, perturbates us into articulating what we think we know or should know, or maybe even are incentivized to know, that the confirmation of that knowing is when we can empower others with our knowing. It's a great lesson to learn, and I highly encourage people to make sure that they have a mentorship program, that they understand how you turn your possibilities to probabilities by taking what you want and finding out who can help you get to where and what you want, and who you can help to get to where they want and what they want. It's the fastest way to get what you want is to ask someone for help or help someone get what they want. And that turns our possibilities into probability. It's a mathematical advantage in life to be a teacher, a mentor, and a coach. A teacher can explain things. A mentor can give you directions to where they are. And a coach, of course, can bring the best out of you. Thank you, Justin. I appreciate you, my friend. Drive carefully. And Nick, who's up next?
Absolutely. Let's keep it live here on Clubhouse. I'm going to go ahead and pass the mic over to Hatul to share his takeaway of the month. Hatul, happy Friday. Great to see you. Feel free to unmute yourself and fire away.
Happy Friday, Nick. Thank you. Just smiling during your kind introduction. My takeaway, there's twin things. One is to take time out. It's something that's really live for me right now. And sometimes you only know you're going at 100 miles an hour when you stop. And in that timeout, that's when you have really the opportunity, to the extent that you do take time out emotionally, energetically, physically, to reflect and benchmark and recharge. So simple, but certainly relevant one for me. And I think that, you know, we have our limits and we need to recharge. And that was my takeaway.
I love that takeaway, and I love the line that you don't know you're moving 100 miles an hour until you stop. And that is so true, because our perspective allows us to create a new baseline, and that baseline may be an elevated frequency, vibration, or speed, acceleration, velocity that we create in our life. That is why I think it's so important, Hatul, to take a break every day. As you know, I'm a firm believer in the conscious continuum, and understanding how we inform or materialize or monetize that which is in the ethereal. When intention is 60% ethereal and only 40% material, it is important to know the commitment that we have to doing things every single day. And it doesn't have to be the majority of the day. Now, one of the things that I'm committed to, and I highly suggest people look into for themselves, is the third of our lives. A third of our lives is spent sleeping. I've had a sleep coach for nearly 18 years now to help facilitate maximizing a third of my life. A third of my life will be spent sleeping, and I want to be in the Hall of Fame sleep. I want to be the greatest sleeper that does two things: recovers better and accesses that information in order to transcend from the ethereal into the material. And that material could be some sort of asset, or it could be some monetization, a materialization, a reality of the ethereal. And in order to do so, understanding my intention for a minimum amount of time every day starts with a minimum of 7 hours of sleep. And then I only allot another 3 hours of the 17 hours of awake time to this understanding of intentionality, of materialization and monetization, to take that which we cannot see and only perceive and make it our reality. And when we can do that, we understand that what we do and say will materialize what we think, feel, and believe. And intention is an aggregate. It encompasses all five of those elements. So when we pay attention to what we want and who we can help and who can help us, and then we give it our intention, which is I'm going to do everything I can today, considering all of the external factors of the day, the weather, the interest rates, the flat tires, the in-laws, etc. And I'm going to derive my power from the past lessons that I've learned, and I'm going to utilize them in a divine direction and divine time by not limiting myself with a self-image of doubt and fear and ignorance, but one of inspiration towards where I want to be or better. When I aggregate the ethereal and the material, then I am aggregating that which I need or want, as well as accelerating the outcome that I don't understand or know, and giving myself an exponentiality in life. And I do that until with just 3 hours of my 17 hours, leaving 14 hours to do whatever the F I want, which includes taking a break, vacationing every single day. It is that variance that allows me to work within a counterintuitive encounter to human nature of doing and being committed to doing the exact same thing every single day. But for the 14 hours of awake time, of my 17 hours awake time, but for the 7 hours of sleep in which I'm extremely intentional about to recover and access this information from the ethereal to make it material, but for the 14 hours of variant behavior, of enjoyment, of all the lessons, the void, shortages, obstacles that are created within those 14 hours, but for that 14 hours, I would not be able to feel good about taking out the trash. Because nobody likes or loves doing something every single day, but that commitment to doing it every day creates the acceleration, aggregation, and compounding of the outcomes that allow you to get to be where you want to be or better. And it's this understanding of intention from the ethereal to the material, understanding that what we do and say will materialize what we think, feel, and believe. And then when we get committed to a minimum amount of time every single day to the non-negotiable activities that may include but not limited to our health, our family, our finance, our faith, our research, our relativity, our time study, whatever it may be, you will find that it is so important to utilize that takeaway of the day that you just suggest to take a break, to know how fast you are moving by stop moving. But I suggest not to do it for 6 hours on a Saturday or not move to India up into the Himalayas or the Ganges Mountains of meditation for years and years and years. You don't need to do that. Just spend a minimum of time every day in meditation or a meditative state or activity to slow down, to stop, identify the clues and the patterns, how you're reacting to that speed, and then roll back into the divine direction, into the divine time, into the trajectory in which you want to be, taking all the ethereal of what you think, feel, and believe, and turning it into the material by doing and saying, taking us back to what Nick had suggested in his takeaway, which is, I can't hear you because your actions are so loud. That's the combination, the lesson, and takeaway of the ethereal to the material. Everybody, take time to stop, drop, and roll when your mind, body, and soul are on fire. You got to stop. Quit trying to go over it, under it, through it, around it. There's no reason to lie to it, cheat it, manipulate it, oversell, back and sell it, deny it. To simply supply it with your inspiration and stop, drop, and roll when you're on fire. Stop, drop, and roll. We are on fire in the first quarter. Nick, what do you think? Wom Nick is his nickname. He is a well-oiled machine, efficient, productive, accessible, and gracious. That's the way I describe the Nick of Time. Nick, let's get everybody to give their takeaways. I got them rolling and rocking here online. We have and have almost 25 years of training, over 100,000 people registered for training and blessed to extend it and amplify it to the Breakfast with the Champions. Ramon brings the BWC every Friday morning for us at 6 a.m. Pacific time. All right, Nick, you're up, my friend.
Beautiful. And man, oh man, did that first quarter fly by. Just a quick reset of the room, everybody. This is, of course, David Meltzer's Free Friday Training and Power Hour here. Today's topic is the takeaway of the month. So as a reminder for everybody in the audience, as you have your takeaways to be able to share, use that hand icon in the lower right-hand corner of your screen to request to join the stage. And if you already are on stage, please make sure to notate something in the room chat, and I will, of course, pass it over to you. And as we continue with this incredible hour, let's make sure to continue to share the room with all of our friends, family, colleagues, anybody that we believe would benefit from this beautiful conversation. Now, even furthermore, David, I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to Robin, who's here on stage. So, Robin, it's great to see you. I know it's been a little while since you've been up on stage, so feel free to unmute yourself and share your takeaway of the month.
Thank you, Nick. I'm very happy to be here. Good morning, David and Clubhouse team and everyone listening in. My takeaway for this month was the confidence I had in reminding myself of patience and getting 1% better each day. That was my baseline this month. I had a lot of changes that happened recently with my career and some in the personal life, and just reminding myself that with my schedule switch, I'll be able to get back into my routines that I had established previously. Instead of getting discouraged and letting the past thoughts take over and take advantage of the situation, it's just, okay, let's just pause, take that moment, and have the confidence that my patience, it'll iron itself out. And it's definitely come to that. And I'm super appreciative of that.
Well, and I believe within the context of this ferocious Buddha, the intertwining of patience is critical. And patience requires not only wisdom from the clues, patterns, and choices that we make, but it also includes faith. Faith that we don't understand or know the outcomes of today and how they're relative or moving us towards where we want to be or better. And in the context of that faith, we need to understand that what we see today is only progress towards where we want to be or better. And although we can't understand the connection or the progress that we're making when things are occurring that we don't think we want or think we know or think we understand, that yet we are in a divine direction, in divine time. And the only thing that will stop us from getting to where we want to be or better, the only thing that will establish that patience, is the faith that we're going to get to by doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing in alignment with where we want to be, somewhere better. And if you don't have faith, you will not have patience. I will repeat that. If you don't have faith, you won't have patience, because you will be stuck into the control of me and not I am. And when you live in I am, you can figure out what you're doing to interfere with what I am. I am happy. What am I doing to interfere with it? I am healthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? I am wealthy. I am worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? And most people don't have patience, not because they don't have the wisdom. It's that they're incapable of understanding or knowing what's going on today and how it's relative to the progress of where they want to be tomorrow or in the future. Because that takes one thing, one capability, which is faith. And when we have faith, everything happens in divine time. When we have faith, everything happens in divine direction. It doesn't mean we sit at home high on our mom's couch, dreaming sick and broke about what we want. It means that you wake up inspired to be ferocious in that alignment, understanding the what, the who, the how, the now, and applying your why to each and every non-negotiable and negotiable, to each and every planned and unplanned, to each and every paid for and unpaid for activity, whether you like it or not. Because I promise you, if you learn to love what you don't love and don't like, if you learn to love what other people don't love or like, and you do it every day in wisdom and faith, and you do it without quitting in wisdom and faith, life will be easy, not diseasy, because it'll tell you all its secrets. It'll give you those cheat codes, and you won't have to interfere or react to fear in the way for the length in which you do. You will shorten the distance of resistance in your life, and you will find the aggregation, acceleration, and compounding effect that the universe, physics, metaphysics, and quantum physics have already provided for you? What are you doing to interfere with it? I love it. Thank you so, so much.
Thanks, Coach.
Hopefully we'll see you. You're amazing.
All righty. Next up here, David, I was going to suggest, why don't we go ahead and take a takeaway from online, and then we'll come back here live on Clubhouse.
Oh, awesome. So the takeaway is, you are the sum of five people you listen to in your average, So, you know, I have a nuance, Sean, for this takeaway. And for me, it's according to subject matter, topic, or expertise. You're the sum of the five people that you listen to, surround yourself with, of the subject matter, topic, or expertise. And so I think it's limiting to say that, you know, we're the sum of the five people we spend the most time with. Well, that's really limiting, because I want to determine, for me, if it's, for example, AI, take a subject matter or topic or expertise that people have, I'm a sixth man on the five for AI. My family, I'm the point guard of that aggregate, that five people that I surround myself with. And so I say that absolutely a great takeaway, but as you surround yourself with the right people and the right ideas, know that you're surrounding yourself with the right people, the right ideas, according to a subject matter, topic, or expertise, and that you have to determine, do you want to be what position on the team? Point guard? Do you want to be a rebounder? Do you want to be the sixth man? So figure it out and evaluate where you're spending your time and what teams you're playing on according to subject, topic, or expertise. All right, Nick, we are almost at halftime. What do you got going on your side?
Yes, sir. We got so many requests here because we are so blessed with abundance that I will go ahead and pass the mic over to Donnie with his takeaway. Donnie, happy Friday. Great to see you. Feel free to unmute yourself and fire away.
Happy Friday, Nick. Happy Friday, Dave. I just so appreciate you guys. I'm so grateful and thankful for all your coaching this week. I know I'm bothering Nick on text while he's trying to read the chat, and I'm, you know, just kind of reviewing all my video from Dave's coaching this week, and I can see how stubborn I am, Dave. I mean, this is not an easy task to work on ourselves when we're used to working with clients and trying to make that transition. I know you touched on it a bit this week with me.
Yeah. Nick, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. So Donnie looks like he cut out and is having some technical difficulties. Donnie, can you hear us?
I can, Nick.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, I know David touched on it this week with me. And Dave, I mean, being stubborn is another thing that we get. And that's a takeaway. I know I've had to hear things three times sometimes, and I can be a little bit difficult. So I'm definitely being humbled. And I know you talk about that quite a bit.
Yeah, it's resistance, right? What it's funny because the biggest impactful ideas and activities that I have in my life, all are things I was resistant to. Meditation, thought it was stupid, right? There's just like a variety of things in my life that I allowed edge goodness out of my life, gold out of my life, God out of my life, and growth out of my life. And all of those, ironically, are EGO. And when we have that resistance to at least appreciating or understanding, and they both go hand in hand, appreciating or understanding our differences. And a lot of times when we take and open up our mind to appreciate or understand, instead of to, as I say, find out that we're about to be humbled because we don't know what we don't know, because there's trillions of variables, and that we're making our judgment, our opinion, and our resistance off of incomplete facts at all time. Every judgment, condition, and decision that you make is incomplete. And so, therefore, it has to be made in humility. It has to be made with an open heart and open hands and open mind. And if we don't, we are just going to accelerate in the wrong direction. And we're going to lose our biggest guide, the guide of not only intelligence, and which is a limiting capability. Intelligence is based off of, like I said, ignorance and doubt. Intelligence is based off of a limited amount of information. Intuition, although it has a full capacity to utilize all information, it works within the context of infinite time. So now we have to somehow have faith in order to reconcile divine time with man-made constructive 24 hours of each day, and which were, by the way, guaranteed every day, except for the last day of your life. You'll be cheated seconds, minutes, or hours, guaranteed. But more importantly, as we look towards the balance of our intellect, a limited amount of information based on ignorance and doubt, and intuition, an abundant amount of information, but based on infinite time, we then have to utilize our inspiration, our open mind, open heart, and open hand to be in spirit in order to have what? The faith with the combination of the wisdom in order to effectuate a greater efficiency, effectiveness, and statistical success in our life. The 24-hour day life that I'm talking about. And so in this balance and counterbalance, we find resistance because not that we are certain, but because we are uncertain. And so that balance comes from the void, shortages, and obstacles. The resistance is that we are reacting to fear that we don't know that we what we don't know, that we are humble or we're about to be. And so for everyone out there, if we can stop when we are resisting anything and breathe and get to ease and then figure out our own alignment according to our timing and risk tolerance of a day and the external circumstances, lessons from the past and where we want to be in the future, we can now reconcile the conflicts that exist each day between the intellect, the intuition, and the inspiration, between man-made constructive time and the infinite time. This is where that resistance lies. And unless we realize we want to do our best, learn lessons, and have fun with it, we are just going to create more resistance. We're going to accelerate in the wrong direction or just end up in the exact same place, like the myth of Sisyphus and Camus the Stranger, rolling a boulder to the top of the hill just to have it roll down to the bottom of the hill the next day. Or we'll live in a world of nothingness, not possibility, probability, reality, and perspective, but we're going to live in a world of nothingness like a tube, food in, food out every day will be our entire existence. What a great takeaway. Everyone suffers and is challenged with the resistance and what you resist persists. Shorten the distance of resistance by allowing yourself to identify the reaction to that fear and minimize the reaction to fear, the ego. Stop edging gold, goodness, growth out of your life and live at ease. Appreciate you in illuminating the vulnerability of what so many of us suffer with. Thank you so much.
Beautiful. And we just actually passed the halfway mark. So we are officially here at halftime with David Meltzer's Power Hour and Free Friday training. As a reminder to everybody, today's topic is the takeaway of the month. So let's continue to share the room. And of course, if you have your takeaways ready to share, make sure to request to join the stage or put something in the room chat. And we will, of course, aim to bring you up. And David, I know I mentioned it at the very beginning between some of our upcoming travels for June, whether it's Manila or Orange County, or of course New York City and Los Angeles and Toronto, all leading up to our big event Friday, July 19th with Dane Cook at YouTube Theater in Los Angeles. If you guys would like to join us in person, whether it's for a meetup, whether it's for a holding court or a VIP dinner, or even obviously the big event itself, the collab at YouTube Theater, all you have to do is email David directly, david@dmeltzer.com. And of course, make sure to join the community reminder as well, or the community text, so you get all the reminders on where David's going to be. And that is, of course, just 949-298-2905. And those can both be found in the room chat. David, I say we keep it live here on Clubhouse and rock and roll with the one and only Brent. Brent, it's great to see you here. It was great seeing you in New York City earlier this week. Feel free to unmute yourself and share that takeaway.
I love you guys. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it was great. New York City is great. Being with Dave and everyone at the VIP dinners is great. Just love it. So the takeaway for the month is, you know, what you were referring to at our holding court of the rule of 20, right? You know, we're just, you know, keep on going, right? We're consistent. And a lot of times we don't see any kind of, you know, any kind of movement. I think like Ed Milet says, it's like the pinata theory, right? With, you know, that it's not that last bang that gets all the candy out, right? It's just the consistent. And, you know, I'm not at my 20, but I see my 20 and it's so freaking awesome. And I just really appreciate that. That's my takeaway of the month. It's just the consistency and how it's just brings happiness. So I thank you very much, David. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate that too. Let me explain the rule of 20 to everyone. So if we put everything that we want into a linear time frame of 20 days, 20 weeks, 20 months, 20 years, and we go ahead and put some sort of context around what we want instead of saying tomorrow. And so whatever the time frame may be, 20 minutes, 20 hours, 20 days, 20 weeks, 20 months, or 20 years, 20 lifetimes even, what makes it difficult as human beings is that until we get to the 18th minute, day, week, month, year, or lifetime, until we get to 80, 90% of the way there, we're not even aware of the progress. So whatever it is that you want, whatever goal that you are focusing in on, whatever on your vision board, whether it takes 20 minutes, 20 weeks, 20 months, 20 years, 20 lifetimes, 20 days, whatever it may be, you have to know that you will not even be aware of the progress until 18 days, weeks, months, years, or lifetimes. 90% of the effort needs to be put in before we can become aware of an outcome that even is deemed aligned with where we want to be or better. And this is what creates the number one nemesis of progress, the number one nemesis of you living to your potential: quitting. Because most people, before they get to the 18th minute, the 18th hour, the 18th day, the 18th week, the 18th month, the 18th year, or the 18th lifetime, before they get to 90% of the way to where they want to be, they quit. They quit because they listen to the inner critic, the inner child. They listen to the inner voices. They listen to the outer voices of the people that are relative and unrelative to them. And eventually they start believing the inner critic, the inner voices, the inner doubt, the inner child, the inner and outer people that are saying, you can't do it, just quit. It's been 90% of the way. It's been 18 minutes. Quit. Quit that exercise. It's been 18 hours. Quit that ultra marathon. It's been 18 days. Quit the effort to eat right. It's been 18 weeks. Quit being sober. It's been 18 years. Quit on my marriage. It's been 18 lifetimes. Quit trying to pursue my potential. 80, 90% of the way there, and almost everybody quits. Now, here's the sadder thing. If you look from Einstein and every single genius, the people who are expressing God in the world, they will all have a rule, from Ed Milet's pinata rule to Einstein's rule of 72, that is applicable to my rule of 20. That as we put things into context and we realize that we're not going to be aware of any results, outcomes that are aligned with where we think we want to be or better until we get to about 90% of the way there, and most people quit, it's really the ones who quit in the next year, when it goes from 25% of the way there in 18 segments to 50% of the way there in 19 segments. And so what happens is another 99% of the remaining persistent, consistent people quit because they just can't understand how they're getting to where they want to be or better. And they lose their faith and they listen to the inner critics, the inner child, the inner voices, the outer people who are relative to them. And 99% of the people that are left at 25% of the way there now quit at 50% of the way there because they just can't see how they're ever going to get to where they want to be or better if they've gone 19 segments, 19 minutes, 19 hours, 19 days, weeks, months, years, or lifetimes. But yet, it's just one more segment, one more minute, one more hour, one more week, one more day, one more month, and one more year, and one more lifetime until they get to 100% of the way where they want to be. They reach their goal or better. When I say better, it's just another segment until they get to 200 and another for 400 and another for 800% of the way there. But the saddest thing is each time 99% of the remaining persistent and consistent people quit. And so what I want you to do is go back in history, look at all the geniuses, the people who express God to you, the intellect, inspiration, and intuition that's necessary to get to where you want to be or better, the combination of wisdom and faith that all these people have. And whether you use my rule of 20 or the rule of 72 or the pinata story of Ed Milet, it doesn't matter. You need to have values, daily practices, and an execution model that allow you to continue to accelerate, aggregate, and compound exponentially. And if you do, I promise, you will get to where you want to be or better, no matter what you're focused your attention on, as long as you give your intention on consistently, persistently in the pursuit of your potential and enjoy it, learning to love it, learning to love what you don't like, what you don't understand, what you don't love, what other people don't like, what other people don't love, what other people don't understand. If you can do that every single day without quit, life will give you its secrets. It will give you the cheat codes. You'll go from dis-ease to ease just like that. So next time you think about, gosh, I'm not getting anywhere. Yes, you are, because the instant gratification that comes from intention, the ethereal to the material, what you do, say, think, feel, and believe, the instant gratification is progress. Is progress. And keep that aligned with where you want to be or better in the divine time and the divine direction. And I promise you will shorten that distance of resistance and get to where you want to be or better faster than you ever imagined. What a great takeaway. That's the rule of 20. If anyone would like the rule of 20, if anyone would like those daily practices, just go ahead and email me. As always, I will send you any exercise or guide. We will send you the takeaway exercise and guides today, or also my book. I will sign a copy, send it to you, pay for the book and shipping. My goal and mission is to empower over 1 billion people to be happy by finding 1,000 people in my Friday training to empower 1,000, to empower 1,000. You do the math. 1,000 times 1,000 is 1 million. 1 million times 1,000 is 1 billion. Go ahead, email me, david@dmeltzer.com, or just come and join us anywhere that you want to meet us, including and especially go to Ticketmaster, meet us July 19th. Rob Riggle, Dane Cook, Marshall Faulk, Baron Davis, Diane Cannon, and many more. Please join us. All right, Nick of Time, the King of WOM, a well-oiled machine. Nick of Time, who's up next?
WOM, we will go ahead and pass it over to the one and only Colleen. Colleen, happy Friday. Great to see you always. Feel free to unmute yourself and share away.
Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you. I loved what you said about patience earlier. I think one of the easiest and quickest exercises to remind yourself of is just being able to step around the corner, close your eyes for a second, and take a couple of deep breaths to find your center. I think one of the my takeaway of the month has been with an 11th month old, the magic has started to present itself in the mundane. The things that, you know, the small tasks, the small little things that we're doing together have become just magical. And I think that has been just a really great reminder in being present, staying in the moment, and trying not to take any of these moments for granted.
Yeah, it's so interesting in the mundane, because I think it's relative to what we were talking about previously, which is, you know, the counterintuitive, counter to human nature, the commitment to consistent behavior. And those people that can learn to love what they don't like or what they don't love, the mundane, and they can learn to love it every day, the mundane, and learn to love it without quit, the mundane. Imagine eating the exact same food every meal. Can you learn to love that? can you learn to love eating a fish head in dirty water in Auschwitz, like Viktor Frankl? In the context of that ease comes the meaning that we give, and the empowerment and control and the inspiration that we derive from our ability to give meaning to everything we see. Our ability to find the light, the love, and the lesson in the mundane is how we accelerate, grow. And it's those people that are willing to scuba dive in those situations, not snorkel, not play on the surface and pretend as if they're engaged and accessible to the lessons and the light that exist in those type of commitments. It is those people that find the light, the love, and the lesson and scuba dive with that relationship to find the mundane extremely inspirational, to understand within the context of the mundane the commitment to consistency, that we are peeling away awareness, that each and every activity, even the ones we don't like or don't love or fear are painful and create suffering, each of those have different layers of awareness as a gift, as a prize, in order to present itself to allow us to learn more, to elevate our own frequency and awareness, knowing that we can only be aware of that which vibrates equal to or less than us. And if we allow the mundane, if we allow the mundane to create interference to where we want to be or better, and instead of seeing it as promotion, protection, and love, but like most people, as punishment, I got to do this. You see, when things are mundane, we start to feel like we have to do it, and we forget we get to do it. And in multi-variable times in my life, and I tell this story because it's so indicative of what most people do. I travel a lot. This year we'll be in 200 different cities speaking, meetups, holding court, VIP dinners, variety of masterminds, speeches, TV shows, movies, etc. But we are already committed to 200 cities. And I've been doing this since I've been 25 years old, traveling 200 days a year, except for during COVID. But one of the trips I took was really long. And I got home and my wife said, David, can you go pick up Marlena? And it was about 30 minutes away. She was at a friend's house. And my first reaction to that fear was to elevate my voice in frustration to my wife after being gone on a trip and missing everyone. And while I was gone, only thinking about how much I loved my family and how I wanted to spend time with my family. And all I really wanted to do was prioritize as a non-negotiable my family, to be able to be with them, especially my girls. Miles wasn't born yet, my son. And my reaction to my wife was, are you kidding me? I have to go pick her up. And as enlightened as my wife is, always elevating my awareness to be a better person and a better self, which is why I adore her. She looked at me and she said, once again, you're lost. I said, you're lost. I've been traveling for 22 hours and you're making me go pick her up. I'm not a chauffeur. You pick her up. And she said to me, I thought you wanted to be with your family. And I said, that's exactly right. That's why I want to be at home with you. I don't want to go pick her up. You go pick her up. She said, I'm giving you an opportunity to spend 30 minutes with your daughter one-on-one after being gone for all this time, after traveling 22 hours. What would you rather prioritize than spending one-on-one time with your 12-year-old? I get to do everything. If I don't get to do it, I'm going to take the time to find out how I get to do it. I will not and will not have to do anything. Freedom, wealth is based off of doing what you want, when you want to, with who you want. Now, you may think that's a matter of finance, but it's not. What it actually is, it's a matter of perception. It's a matter of meaning. And when you look at things and say, I am free, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am happy, I get to do what I want, when I want, with who I want, and the mundane becomes just that, because of the meaning that you give the mundane. And what a great takeaway that is. And I know that you have that capacity and you're enjoying the mundane. You're finding the light, the love, and the lessons in what other people feel punished. You're protected, promoted, and loved. That's why we love you, Colleen. Thank you for always being here and being such a big part of the community. Thank you.
Beautiful. And let's keep this train rocking and rolling. I know we got about 11 minutes left here. I will go.
That's my lucky number, by the way.
Oh, trust me, David, if that, it screamed to me automatically. That's why the universe had me even say it in the first place. It's that lucky number of 11. But I will go ahead and pass it over to Ron for his takeaway. So Ron, it's great to see you and was great to see you in New York this week. Feel free to unmute yourself and share that takeaway.
All right. Thanks, Nick, for bringing me back. Hey, Coach, how are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks for coming on here on every Friday and showing up to our dinners and meetups and holding court and speeches. And you're just thriving. Talk about illustration of utilization of the values, the daily practices, and the execution model. Man, you are a poster child for what we're trying to teach. So thank you, Ron.
You got it, Coach. So, and that's what I wanted to touch on. My takeaway, I would say again this month, is just being consistent and stepping out and doing not just what you're offering, but other things that are out there, other opportunities. I mean, you know, I went to this dinner. Where else would I have been able to sit with a U.S. congressman and have him listen to me talk about my nonprofit? A billionaire in the room. I got to talk to Claude. Where else would I get these things if I didn't keep to be consistent, going back to the well that you're offering us, and then just meeting other people in the room that, you know, weren't on the panel. I made more friends at this one than anyone, Dave. I'm not saying I'm surprised, but I'm like, I just keep doing it. And so today I'm getting ready to jump on an airplane and go spend the weekend with Maurizio in Atlanta. The work on our project cooking. And I was like, I'm thinking about what I have to do for the weekend. And I heard it in his voice. He's like, partner, I got you a ticket already. So you're coming. And I just can't express enough to be consistent, but like you teach us, Dave, and not to go backwards because it's right back to zero again. So thank you so much, Dave, for pushing me and teaching me.
Thank you so much. And give me a thumbs up, everyone, if you can hear me. I'm playing around with the audio. So hopefully you guys can hear me so much. But, you know, it's interesting because 90% of what I do is free. The exercises, guides, my free Friday training, meetups, holding courts, my books, and the list goes on and on. But yet some people want intimate and proximate vicinity to an extraordinary neighborhood of people. What I do to qualify that proximity and the intimate nature of that neighborhood is I do charge for things that have extreme hard costs, like over the top dinners with speakers from around the world. It's interesting because people resist that, even though it's just a test and a qualifier, because we guarantee everything. So although there's hard costs to some of the things that we do, it's interesting how many people resist it, even though it's guaranteed. So they'll utilize some kind of blame, shame, or justification why they can't make it, because there's a financial commitment to be part of certain things that I do, but yet it's guaranteed. And they'll say it's not financial, but yet they'll resist it. And then there's people like you, Ron, and Brent, that took a little while until they figured out. And then it's so nice when they come back and say, that's the best investment of time, money, emotion, and value that I've made. It's changed my life. You are a profit center. I get what you're doing because you guarantee you're a profit center. And it's amazing. I know that everybody is on their own divine time and their own divine awareness. But I encourage anyone to go ahead and talk to the people that are around us. Talk to the Brents and the Rons and the Janines and the Colleens and all of these people that have made the investment of time, emotion, value in order to be part of the neighborhood, guaranteed neighborhood of a profit center, people who want to help each other and know people that can help each other, people who buy from each other and sell for each other for a lifetime. And I encourage anyone that feels that resistance and like, I can't afford to do it, it's not worth my time, won't be valuable. There's a reason, I guarantee it. If it's something that actually has a monetary component to it, but most of what I do doesn't. It's just time and emotion and value that people are resisting because it's free. They don't reach out to get a free book and exercise a guide. They don't show up to the free meetups or holding court or the free Friday trainings or the shows that we do for free every single day because they resist the idea that they need to invest in themselves and they can't find outside of them what they can't find inside of them. Come and join us. Be a part of it. I know everybody's here. Let's take yourself to the next level. Email me. I will help you. David@dmeltzer.com. Nick, we're in the last 5 minutes. What do you got for me?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take another takeaway here live on Clubhouse. I see that Monica, you just joined the stage. Monica, do you have a takeaway to share today? Looks like she is not unmuting. So, David, why don't we go ahead and take a takeaway from online?
You got it. We will do that. Thank you. That's funny. Oh, I just knocked myself off of training somehow. That is so weird. I apologize. I got knocked out. Hold on. I'm back.
We can...
I'm back. Okay. The notes are still there. All right. Anyways, sorry about that. Hi, Lori Stevenson. I got one of my childhood friends. Takeaways, I got so many. Okay, don't stop before the miracle, but better yet, don't stop after the miracle happens as well. Yeah, that I like that takeaway. You know, so many people reach a point and they retire instead of repurpose. They retire instead of repurpose. I'm constantly repurposing, getting to better than I thought I could get to. And I think our July 19th event with Dane Cook, the collab, which I want to remind everyone, join us, go to Ticketmaster. But, you know, I could have stopped with what we were doing. And now I'm scared shitless again, doing something that's totally outside of, you know, my comfort zone, creating fear, which I try to mitigate my reaction to it by doing something this big. And all these people start pouring in, right? The people like the Marshall Faulks and Baron Davis and Rob Riggles and Diane Cannon and many, many more are coming in support of collaborating and allowing Dane and I to collaborate, as well as collaborating with special guests, as well as collaborating with the audience. You got to go beyond. It's so like miracles are happening every day, but they're still limiting. And what I found about abundance, when I found that I lived in the world of more than enough of everything for everyone, what I found is that as you reach a point that you do say, believe, feel, and think abundantly and more than enough to give more, be given more, receive more, and ask for more, when you start living in it, you start realizing that you always have limitations on your self-image, that you always have limitations on the ethereal of what you think, believe, and feel. You'll always have limitations on what you do and say. And so therefore, understanding that in an infinite loop, in an abundant unified system of more than enough of everything for everyone, that we now can get to a point of abundance where we are aligning which limiting beliefs, words, feelings, thoughts, aligning the limitations of those with where I want to be or better, knowing that the limitations will always exist because there's more than enough, there's infinite. And so when you can get to a point of enlightenment where you're not just trying to go beyond, but you're actually being strategic in the limitations by aligning the limitations with where you want to be, by which limiting words, thoughts, beliefs, feelings, which limiting beliefs, thoughts, feelings, words, and actions are aligned with where you want to be. And so we can take it to the next level. And it's a great, abundant, infinite takeaway to think that we are going to and expect miracles, but we can go beyond the miracles by prescribing the limiting beliefs, words, thoughts to where we want to be or better and seeing which ones serve us best. Whew. I love takeaways of the month. It's May 31st. I want to thank everyone. Remember, email me for the exercises and guides in my book. Go ahead, email me, david@dmeltzer.com, for the rule of 20, for the 5 daily practices. I will sign my book, send it to you, pay for shipping and the book. If you also would like my unstoppable guide, creating the life you love, the workbook that Jack Canfield and I have done for the Unstoppable Foundation, reach out. We'll give you that as well. We got a workbook for you, Jack Canfield. Chicken Soup for the Soul, the author of the number one best-selling book next to the Bible, incredible thought leader, has done a workbook with me. So go ahead, reach out. I'll give you that as well. David@dmeltzer.com. If you want to join us in all the different cities we're going to be in, Orange County, LA, Collision in Toronto, Manila, New York, the list goes on and on and on. Most importantly, July 19th, go to Ticketmaster. If you have any questions about it, David@dmeltzer.com.